Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Today is June the 1st, 2022. And this is a wonderful day that the Lord our God has made. And I thank God for all that He's doing. You know, in yesterday's broadcast, Your covenant revelation. When the Word of God is revelation to you, that's when you can go forward in the things of God. Everything that God says is life and health and healing, and it has the God-given purpose to it. So when we receive what He's saying, we continue forward, and it gives us everything we need to do everything we should do. That's the power of God's Word. But it must be embraced by revelation, just like I gave the illustration about a tither yesterday. That was May 31st, 2022. He said, in yesterday's broadcast, when people have a revelation of tithing, they are the ones that that have the greater testimonies. And when people do it because somebody told them to, sometimes the Lord is working with them to get their faith up. Miracles happen, but when things get hard, they wax and wane. They don't have it as revelation. And I use tithing for an example, but that's the same thing for everything. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they do better and better and better in life over time because they have a relationship with the Lord. Some people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because somebody told them they need it. And they spoke in tongues, they shouted, but they didn't follow on to know the Lord. And same thing with salvation. Sometimes people get saved and they live estranged from God. They don't follow on to know Him, but they're in covenant with Him. As long as they don't get in trouble, then they're still God's people. But Peter says something that's very puzzling, and I think it was 1 Peter 5. He said, many are scarcely saved. Then he said, where will the wicked and the sinner appear? If God's people are scarcely saved. Now, these are people who believed on Jesus. If they're scarcely saved, guess what's going to happen to the wicked and the unbelieving? Now, it's important to receive every word of God and receive it till it's revelation to you. Get the revelation that God is trying to give you by the Word of God. And don't let the confines of this world hinder you from receiving it. Now, people in this world, they don't agree with God. They're not in agreement with what He's doing. The wicked have false agendas, and they do other things. Other things are important. You know, according to Psalm chapter 2, why do the heathen rage and the leaders of this world imagine a vain thing? It's happening, folks. And then there's an agenda. Everybody has their own agenda. The people who love God and keep Him first, their agenda is to obey God and please God and live and help other people do the same thing. The tares have another agenda. Some people believe the Word of God, that's a good thing to do, it's what you should do, but they allow the world somewhere. And see, the end game of Satan is to leavenize the church. That's why you see Jesus talking to the Laodiceans as if they're not His people. And that's the last day church. But see, the one he addressed last represents the end times. Satan is gonna every generation he plots and tries to figure out a way to nullify the forming generation. That's why we must follow God in all of our ways. That's the only way to stay ahead of Satan. But that's not the reason we follow God. We follow God because we're supposed to. But if we do, we'll always be ahead of our enemy. And Satan can't be ahead of us because he can't be ahead of the wisdom of God. But when, see, he's trying to get us in, to operate in a realm that we understand. That's where he can win against us. Everything I've ever learned from God was easy. It was just like James said in chapter 3. Everything of God is pure. It's easy to be entreated. It's without partiality and hypocrisy. Every time he teaches me something, it's easy for me to see what he was getting at. Even when I don't understand. When I didn't understand and I continue forward in the things of God, I come to a point, hey, that makes sense. Now, I said something a few broadcasts ago that when I didn't understand, the way I stayed balanced was the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Plain. When Jesus taught them, I endeavored to do everything that he said in those discourses, and when he taught the Beatitudes. That kept me balanced. See, when I didn't understand why people were doing what they did, it puzzled me terribly. And I thought that as soon as I give this pastor this word about following God, it was going to turn the tables. I was going to get to see what God was talking about if his people follow him. See, I knew what would happen to people. I was looking for that. I always did. I always looked for people to do the best. I believed in people. But see, God can only, for what God was looking for, he was looking for people that would yearn to know him and trust him beyond what they think. See, every time you go to the next glory, you have to break through how you think. You have to break through how other people think. But if you walk away sorrowful like the rich young ruler, you will not know what God can do in your life. You will be hindered. You will be limited. See, Satan wants us to reason things away. He wants us to do like others do. No different, but do what others do. Others don't seek the Holy Spirit first. They don't stay ahead of the curve. They do what their predecessors did. Well, guess what? Our best predecessors, and we're standing on their shoulders, they ran out of time. They died because they of old age. They went on to be with the Lord. That happens to all of us. But they did their job. They continued to proceed in the next glory. And now the people that they've been teaching for years are supposed to excel them. See, Paul gave us the clue when he said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say follow me only. And neither did our predecessors. And that's the preachers that came before us. Now, Lester Summerall wrote that he asked the Lord in prayer to keep him involved in the next glory every time that there was one or there will be one until the Lord took him home. And the Lord took him home. You know, he went on to be with the Lord. So he understood that there were more glories to attain. But the enemy wants us to presume that all we have to do is what our predecessors did. Now, that goes against what Paul told Timothy. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. See, he mentored Timothy. That's why I said Timothy. He was talking to the people of God. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we're supposed to do that. We have to overlook our predecessors and continually look to the Lord. They helped us out. See, God gives the athlete talents. The coach helps them refine those talents. And see, the Holy Spirit is the super coach. He's the head coach. Now, he don't come and make you do anything. It's like what Rod Parsley said. Sometimes the Lord will, He'll say something to see if you're going to follow along. He wants you to chase him. He don't make everything plain. He give you enough to go on. But you got to be the detective. You got to look at him. You know, just like Elisha followed. Now, that's the most perfect example I know of. Elisha wanted that double portion anointed so much. Now, in my mind, when I read the scriptures, it's like Elijah was trucking. He was walking fast. And Elisha was walking right behind him. He said, what can I do for you? What do you want from me? I'm just paraphrasing. He said, I want a double portion of the anointing on your life, on you. He said, you ask a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken up, so it'll happen. So he followed close behind him. And all the prophets said, don't you know your master's going to be taken today? Don't you know your master? Yes. I know. He kept he right behind Elijah. Elisha was right behind, watching him. Until a whirlwind divided him and he saw him taken up. Now, that's how we got to follow God. We can't be like the prophets that said, don't you know your master's going to be taken today? If they saw Elisha walking behind Elijah, why didn't they follow along too? Did you know in life, whenever Jesus did something, he wanted his disciples to catch on. He came walking on the water, folks. Now, it's not normal to walk on water, but Jesus did it. He was fishing. He was looking, who's going to get out of that boat with me? Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. Peter got, see, when they were asleep on the boat, Jesus was asleep on the boat. Peter woke him up. Lord, don't you care the waves are about to kill us? Now, Jesus acted like they were supposed to do what he did. The Lord wants us to catch on. We're supposed to be paying attention to the Holy Spirit. Every time the Lord do something, we need to jump on it. Okay, Lord, you did this. I noticed it. Why did you do it that way? That's what we need to be doing. That's what's not happening. So I'm going to tell you what happens. I've done this before. I saw God doing something in my sight. I never saw God. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, I know by the Holy Spirit, he'll have me to preach a certain way. He'll word things a certain way. And sometimes it catch my attention. I say, Lord, okay, you had me to say this when I was preaching. Tell me more about it. Why did you do it that way? Why did this happen? And eventually I said, Lord, when I'm around pastors and I'm about to tell them the last thing you told me, and I was excited to tell them because they're my friends and I figured they'd enjoy it. And then I forget it. I said, how does the devil do that? I didn't know. See, God is patient with us when we don't know. It took time for me to understand it was him. Some people are not sanctioned for knowledge unless they are following God themselves. I explained in other broadcasts, if people receive what I call revival knowledge and they're not revived, they'll make a bigger mess because they're going to preach the things that God said. People are going to don't know the difference. See, the word of God is easy to be entreated. And that's true. But the person who presents it, if they're not Christ-like, the people will become like them. It's impossible for a corrupt tree to bear good fruit. He said it this way. He said, sincerity begets sincerity, while leaven begets leaven. And sometimes people's leaven is not out yet. It's not something that they can put. These pastors didn't intend to be this way, but they allowed things in their life. There are things that was unchecked, undealt with, that was not dealt with. One of them I knew had fear. I saw a spirit of fear on him, and he suffered with it. I'm not trying to put anybody down, but when the Lord show you, reveal something to you, it only the Lord can show you how to get rid of things. Because some knowledges that God has to offer, some counsels, some wisdoms, some teachings, God want to reveal it through people that he trained to walk in that glory. Otherwise, like I said, Satan wants us to operate from this realm. What the people are already used to. Preachers don't like, I know this about preachers, they don't like to preach something that people are not used to because they want to be accepted. And they don't want to seem odd, and they don't want to seem weird. And I can prove it. Everybody I know that the Lord has called to be an apostle, they always run from it. They say they're pastors or something else. They don't ever say that they are an apostle. But the Lord told me to put, when I used to do the living letters, I don't really write living letters like I used to, even though the ministry is called Living Letters Ministries. That's what God gave me, and I probably should have been continually writing, but I stay so busy now. I hardly ever write a living letter anymore. And I'm going to go before the Lord. I don't like for things to stop. But he gave me the radio assignment and then the website assignment. It's more important than that. This is more important than the writings. But I still want to do them. You know, I do them from every now and then. I do one. Where I used to write one every day. But the Lord told me on every writing, he gave me a protocol. He gave me instructions. When he first told me that I was an apostle in 1992, he told me that I got it in the notebook. I showed it to my son. He said, "You're chief apostle to the church." I said, "Oh man, now that's how I felt. I felt like, well, I don't want to acknowledge this." I said, "How do I tell people this?" He said, "Don't tell anybody right now." He said, then a few months went by, about 4 or 5 months went by. It was winter, it was February when he told me this. Around April or May, he said, "If anybody asks you what kind of pastor, minister you are, tell them." A few more months went by. Then he said, "If anybody asks you what kind of preacher are you, tell them." That was a commandment, so I had to tell them. Only one or two people asked me what kind of preacher I was. Then he said, it got to a point. He said, "At this point, you can tell anybody you want to." And then, instead of writing Minister Hamby on my paperwork, on my living letters, it got to a point. He said, "I want you to write Apostle Thurston Hamby on each writing." He gave me that protocol, and I did it. This is why. Now, I have the only reference I have beside the scriptures, Kenneth Hagin, he fractured his arm one time. And he sought the Lord. See, he had that relationship too. He said, "Lord, why did this happen?" He said, "In your ministry," now I'm trying to remember this, so it's in this book, I Believe in Visions. He said, "When you always put teacher before prophet," he said, "your primary calling is prophet, and in your, within your ministry you teach, but you put teaching before prophecy." And he said, "Your arm is gonna get, I think it was 99% healing, but it's gonna remind you to keep prophet first." This is why it's very important to honor God. Be what God called you to be. I'm not a pastor. An apostle can operate as a pastor or whatever God really wants him to do. But this function is very important. And when people don't acknowledge what God called them to be and do, then they're out of order. And when you're out of order, that's the realm Satan wants you to live in. They're obeying fear more than the Holy Spirit. You can't obey the spirit of fear. See, the Lord told me this. I was doing this series one time at a church. And it was about talents, talent for promotion. It was a series I did at a church. And one of the things the Lord taught me was that Satan tempts people to fear inwardly what society believes. He tempts people to fear inwardly what society believes collectively. So that's how he gets over on the people. That's how he seduces people. And that's how he get people to remain living, through fear. It's a fear tactic. Now, everybody that get in pride get in fear automatically. So a proud man can't go any further because he's already in opposition against God. He's more concerned about what the people think than what God knows. And God can only, some things he's not going to reveal through proud people, because they make it look like God is okay with fear and pride and whatever else they're into. That's a corruption. Leaven is always a corruption. And see, you'll only get to a point where you can't do damage. With the anointing, we ought to be aspiring to be more and more like Jesus in all of our ways and doings. And see, the only way to stay balanced and not get caught up in the web of the world and bow the knee to Baal, like others do, is to stick with what Jesus taught. Everything, every example, everything he told his disciples, is we're going to face the same thing throughout our lives until we master, until those words are revelation to us. Once the words of Jesus become revelation to us, we become born of God, not just born again. See, when you're born of God, you can't sin. You have the authority not to. You have the will not to. You have the knowledge not to. You have the wisdom and counsel and everything you need to stay ahead of Satan. And you just can't sin. You just can't stoop low. You can't kiss Satan's ring. You just can't do it. It's not going to happen. And it never has. I'm talking about people that's born of God. Not compromisers, not lukewarm. Lukewarm people are something else. They believe they're in covenant with God. They assess themselves to be in God's likeness, but they drifted a long time ago. And see, when the rapture happens, they're going to still be here thinking that they're going to be raptured. But when it happens and they pass the graveyard and see half the graves broken up, when King Peter saw the grave, his vision actually started with the rapture. He saw the graves broken up all over the world. And all the children, he didn't see anybody under 2 years old in his vision. So that tells me the rapture had happened right then. Now he didn't know when he had the vision, he didn't know the order of times like it's been taught. He wasn't taught eschatology. And sometimes God revealed things to people that don't have a bias. He didn't have a bias. And so he didn't care about trying to appeal to people that's been taught pre-tribulation rapture. I'm sure he learned it earlier, but that's not what he saw in his vision. He was in his 30s when he saw his vision. And I watched it, so I looked for the details. And he helped me believe some things that I supersede some things that I thought was true. And so did Pastor Lankford. I was taught pre-tribulation rapture, but I believe it's going to happen, the rapture, just before the vile judgments. And the Lord told me this. He said, I'm not moving you out of his way. I'm moving you out of my way. So that I believe that. I don't teach it in a dogmatic way, because it's a lot of things I want to know still. And I believe every scripture is true. But I remember this, Daniel sealed the revelations that he got, and John sealed the revelation that he got. And it can't be unlocked until God unlock it. And that's for good reason. When God do something, it's for a very good reason. And when it's all over and done with, you'll say, well, how come I didn't see that in the first place? Because he sealed it. Just like everything else I learned from the Lord, it's always simple and easy to understand. The Lord wants to introduce some things through people who are pure in their heart, sincere in their heart, and unleavened. Salvation is unleavened. The Holy Spirit is unleavened. The Word of God is unleavened. The wisdom of God is unleavened. The counsel of God is unleavened. The knowledge of God unleavened. Everything from God is pure. Nothing from God can be contaminated. Leaven is a contamination. Sin is a contaminant. So some things must be introduced through pure people. And sometimes people think they're pure. Sometimes people need training. Sometimes people still have old beliefs. Sometimes there are Christian people in every race that still have racial issues. They still struggle to love every race like they should. And if once the enemy know it, he's going to exploit it. There are still people that men that don't trust women preachers and stuff. And when the enemy get wind of it, he's figure out how to manipulate them. There are still people that have preeminence problems. There are still people that have unchecked fears. See, when the Lord taught me about yielding to him, he taught me about reserves. Sometimes people, they amen everything God say, but they still have reserves. These are things that's really not right, worldly, and things they should have gotten rid of, but they reserve it. It's just like the people who watch movies they shouldn't watch. Not necessarily pornography, but they allow themselves to see movies that's just not godly. That's a reserve. They allow themselves to smoke. That's a reserve. They allow themselves to drink, to sip. That can be a reserve. And, you know, Paul told Timothy that a little wine is good for your stomach's sake. He's right, because they didn't have water purification systems. And I'm not against wine. I don't think it's evil. I don't think it's wrong. I don't drink because I've seen enough people that do. And I don't want there to be a chance that I'll ever fall into that trap. I'm not afraid of it, but I do. Because of people who drink, I don't want nothing to do with that stuff. But that's just a personal thing. I can't say that it's wrong biblically, because Jesus' first miracle was turning water to wine, and that's what they did. Anything that people hold back from God that they should be getting rid of, it's a reserve. Now, you know smoking is terrible for your lungs, especially a cigarette, because they put chemicals in it to make you make it addictive. And I'm not fond of smoking in any case, but cigars and pipe, you know, tobacco for pipes, you know, that's much better than a cigarette. But I don't care about none of it. In the Holiness Church, it was taught that it was wrong and evil, and you're going to hell for it. But they said the same thing about coffee, watching movies, any movie, and playing sports. Now that's wrong. I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to tell you what to do as if you ain't got good sense. If you want to do something and you don't think there's anything wrong with it, then you need to take it to the Lord. I do it. I say, Lord, sometimes the movies I watch, they have raunchy stuff in it, and I don't want to do nothing that's, you know, that's wrong or cause somebody else to stumble. I said, what about TV? What about these TV shows and stuff? He said, that's neither here or there. That's up to you to decide. What does your conscience say about it? So, television and watching shows, you know that it's just a story. You know nobody got killed making the movie. I love to watch war movies because it helps me get a reality check that freedom is not free. You got to take it. You got to pray for it. You got to contend for it. the best way to contend for it is spiritual warfare. and spread the gospel every which way you can. And pray for the governments, just like Paul said. Pray for all leaders so that a war won't be started. You don't want natural war. There's always casualties in natural wars. But when you fight spiritually, there are no casualties. Sometimes we need a reality check. Some things is good for people to see what others go through. So if I say, well, you watching TV is of the devil, no. You can't do that. You know in your own heart what is a reserve. If it don't line up with what Jesus taught, it needs to go. If it's out of order, you need, or at least you need to see it for what it is. Some things I see out in life, you wish you could unsee it, but you can't. You just have to have enough love of God in you to see it for what it is. Every form of sin, you need to see it for what it is and not partake of it and let it be a reserve. And then there's something else. Allowances. Allowances is what people allow because, okay, if the leader of a wonderful church, let's say he has a lazy streak. Well, guess what? The people will, they'll have a lazy streak too. Because it was allowed. If people that have a diligent pastor, they're diligent people. This is why God wants to use his people. He won't train people to introduce some knowledges or revival knowledge. Which I love to call it revival knowledge. He give that to his frontline people who love him, not to people who allow leaven in their life or reserve and hold it back. I asked the Lord, what's the difference between reserves and allowances? He said reserves are done on purpose and allowances